Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines in order. They've lighted up. You're going to come in order. Steve of Delafield, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Steve?
Yes, good morning, Matt. Good morning, Luke. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to comment on what you said this morning about the governor's race in Virginia, Republican Glenn Youngkin versus the Democrat Terry McAuliffe.
You said that
Youngkin is a hedge fund manager, and that's exactly what we don't need. You said
equity. It's a financial firm. Not clear everything they invest in, but yeah, go ahead. Financial guy, right?
Yes. So you said that private equity and hedge fund managers like Youngkin and Romney are corporate raiders and vultures that prey on the working class and working poor. And that's the reason why we shouldn't vote for them. Well, we have a Wall Street Goldman Sachs banker who's running for the U.S. Senate in Wisconsin. He's the son of a billionaire hedge fund manager that threatened to move our Milwaukee Bucks out of Wisconsin unless Wisconsin taxpayers gave him $500 million for a brand new arena. So I agree with you, Matt, that the last thing we need in Wisconsin is a billionaire hedge fund manager and Goldman Sachs banker like Alex Lazary representing us in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, well, Steve, the analogy, if it were there, would be a good one, but it's not. I'll tell you why. Alex Lazary does not work for Goldman Sachs. He's not a banker. He is not. I don't know why, frankly, somebody told you he was. He simply is not. He's a vice president of the Bucks is what he is, a young guy, very good guy. He was very instrumental in getting the Democratic National Convention here. And sadly, of course, no fault of his, COVID hit and it became virtual, but it was a big deal and he did it. He didn't do it alone. Mayor Barrett and a number of other people were very instrumental, but he was a big part of that. So, and Alex Lazary is not a billionaire. His father is Mark Lazary is one of the owners of the Bucks. And I've never seen a financial statement from him, but let's assume that he is a billionaire. In 1960, John F. Kennedy's father, Joe Kennedy, wasn't a billionaire, but by the standards of those days, he was quite wealthy and he certainly helped Jack. And Roosevelt's family had a lot of money. On the other hand, Truman's family had no money. So I think what it comes down to is, and Bill Clinton, no money whatsoever, very talented, probably one of the smartest individuals I've ever met, have had the pleasure of meeting him. So the small corrective I would say, Steve, is whoever told you that Alex Lazary works for Goldman Sachs, he does not. And whoever told you he's a billionaire, he's not. But he is a vice president of the Bucks. So I've not made an endorsement in that race. We have a number of good candidates, but Alex Lazary is solidly in that group. And when I'm talking about, and by the way, I did not describe Youngkin and Romney as vultures. That's kind of a stereotypical thing. And then, or preying on the working class or anything like that. But what I do say is, and I'll tell you this, when private equity and when Bain Capital and the outfit that Youngkin worked for take over a company, quite frequently, this happened to the Milwaukee Journal, they strip down whatever they can, basically out of efficiency. And I don't describe that as vulturism. That's going to be part of, I suppose, really rough capitalism. But I question whether you want that in political office. I do question that. I don't throw pejoratives about vultures. But Alex Lazary is not working for a hedge fund or an investment bank or anything like that. He's a vice president of the Bucks. Thanks a lot for calling in, Steve. Going back to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Oh, good morning, Matt. The worst thing in politics is dark money. But that being said, I need to understand what the Republicans are doing in Georgia, Arizona, Florida, and Texas. Now, if I understand this correct, you are going to change voting laws down there that if in the event Biden runs for president again, against whomever the Republicans put up, if they do not like the results of the election, they can bring this to a I don't know, the legislative vote and change those results. And so you are effectively gerrymandering the whole country to tilt Republican. And the same can be said about in-state elections. You're going to make it so difficult for people to vote. For instance, you can put, I'll use this state, you can put two voting machines down in Milwaukee County. If things, I'm just using Wisconsin as an example. And then, of course, in the rural areas, you have plenty of voting machines, so people have to stand in long lines. But at any rate, what I'm trying to say here, somewhere on the line, to be quite honest, I don't even know how this can happen without people being upset. Because, anyway, if you can explain that to me, what exactly these Republicans are doing, it's taxation without representation or whatever. If you don't like the outcome of an election, you flip it. How much of this do I have right? How much wrong? And what do we need to do? I think you're right on the money.
Let me tell you, the starkest example in Arizona, there's legislation pending that will make the presidential election advisory. They're taking the position that this should be like the presidential elections in 1788, okay? In 1788, George Washington was elected president. There was not an election. I mean, the average person, even voters, didn't vote for George Washington. Each state was the first presidential election. There's a lot of jealousy among the states, and he was the big man. For one thing, he was the general that won the Revolutionary War. The other thing, believe it or not, he was 6'4", and back then it would be sort of like being 6'7". Now, he was basically a big guy, forceful personality, and he was also one of the wealthiest men in the country, and a good man. And so what he ended up doing was each state sent electors based on, you know, they just picked them. And I don't even think they picked them always in their legislatures. You know, the important people in each state got together at a club and they said, okay, our electors will be this one and that one. And then they all, you know, basically almost unanimously voted for George Washington. So what they're saying now is we should go back to that. Well, 1788 was the first election. It's amazing we had a presidential election and it didn't include people. It was these electors. So now, fast forward, Arizona has a legislation pending that says that the presidential election is advisory. It's what's called a beauty contest. And oh, that's very neat that Biden won, but then the legislature, which is gerrymandered, can just say it's the Republican, sort of like 1788. Well, we're not going to have that. But there is a disturbing thing in the Supreme Court opinions. Justice Rehnquist, who passed away, authored it. And unfortunately, Justice Kavanaugh revised it in a footnote. And what it basically says is, in the Constitution, it says as each state will set the terms for electing its electors. So Arizona is saying, we're going to select our electors through the legislature, not through a popular vote. Well, this is going to come to news to a lot of people, but gerrymandered legislatures can do that. However, my position is, if I were on the Supreme Court, and I'm hoping these Supreme Court justices say, there is now a tradition that's really inscribed in constitutional practice that there will be a free and open presidential election by people, not by legislators. And but stay tuned. Arizona is trying it right now. What the rest of them are doing is they're doing it sneaky. What they're doing is saying, well, we're going to audit it and throw out a lot of votes because why? Because somehow they were absentee from a nursing home and we think somebody helped them or whatever, and just do it. Well, what happened was some very good poll workers and very good folks stood tall and they said, no, we're not going to put up with that. But not many of them. It almost happened in Michigan. One Republican flipped. In Philadelphia, a Republican flipped. In this state, quite frankly, one Supreme Court justice flipped. And if he hadn't flipped, 4-3. Three Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin voted to basically stop the certification of the vote. Three of them. But the fourth Republican showed a lot of guts, as he always has, on these issues. So, yes, it's going on right now. And yes, people should be angry, but polling shows that a lot of the Republican base if they can, it's a my way or the highway. And if they can't get what they want, they're going to go along with this. That's why we have to fight for our democracy. And that's why we bring it up so often on this station. Thanks for calling, Paul. Pizza Box Mike, my friend and co-host. Pizza Box Mike, host of Outside the Pizza Box on Saturday at noon. What's on your mind today, Pizza Box Mike?
Well, COVID has been slowed, so the fight for 15 is back on. And I just wanted to remind anybody that's in driving distance or listening distance that isn't going to be with the Devils this afternoon to go to Milwaukee, Zeidler Union Square, 3 p.m. We're standing with janitors for $15 an hour in a union. And the second thing, I've got three little things. The Republicans traveling around the state telling their constituents that Democrats need to stop their attacks on police has to be countered. I mean, it's such an obvious point that we need to point out that the Republicans are the ones attacking the police. We've never attacked the police. And thirdly, I just want to say all of the candidates that would be running against Ron Johnson are perfect for running a recall this fall. We shouldn't wait and leave Ron Johnson a treasonist in the Senate. We have to get rid of that man. And COVID slowed down, and I think we can do it. And I'm going to talk to some people about that and find out if we do have a candidate that's willing to step up for Wisconsin and for the country.
Yeah, good point, Mike. All this stuff's good point. On that, the one thing I will say is you need a certain number of votes, signatures. And with Governor, with Walker, it was about 1 million signatures. That's a lot of signatures. And yes, I'm sure there are 1 million people who don't want Johnson in there, but collecting those signatures, getting them on the ballot and all that by the fall is going to be very, very difficult. Now, the election is a year from November. The primary is a year from August. And I think that the strategy, another strategy, is we have some very good candidates running hard right now. Johnson is still sniffing around saying, oh, I'm thinking about it. He's going to do it. But I think the more he goes along and the more we just engage in a campaign against him right now, because that campaign is going to come to fruition a lot sooner than we think. So, and good luck on 15 an hour. Absolutely the right cause. Thank you, Pizza Box Mike, my co-host. Listen to Mike, Pizza Box Mike, every Saturday at noon. We're going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. Back after the break.